The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine in the center of the soul and the spirit, and joints in the marrow, critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We resume in our studies this evening, Genesis 31, where we'll pick up at the exegesis of verses 4 through 13 as a block. All right, we're here. Might as well make it count for God. That is, making sure that we are in fellowship. God, the Holy Spirit, in his rightful position of rulership over the real you experientially, so that we can apprehend the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature, and therefore discern truly the spiritual importance of matters that are embedded in regards to the scriptures in this vein. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask you bless us in our seeking of you, to know you and understand you, your plan for our lives, and therefore to be engaged in action with honor and glorification of your person, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as you have so designed. We ask God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us in the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, at this point in Jacob's tenure with his uncle Laban, he has enjoyed immense success in his business venture of having a business of his own, success almost beyond measure, as the Hebrew made clear in chapter 30, verse 43, that he became exceedingly wealthy. All the time he became richer over this past 6 years. His uncle, on the other end of the coin, Laban, watched his assets diminish, not only in number, but in quality. Obviously, there's that constant pull, if you will, in regards to things in life, quantity over quality, or vice versa. Here, he sees a depreciation in both aspects of the assets of his goats and sheep and his livestock herd in that respect. And all this, according to what he perceives, a man might perceive in Jacob's technique, his rod technique, and success in that vein of livestock breeding, bringing about the very type of livestock and healthy livestock that he was agreed upon in his contract to keep for his own profit. And obviously, after some 6 years, watching his assets diminish, while Laban, he could have ended his deal any time, just as much as Jacob could have walked off from it. Obviously, it looks like there is no end to how long he will hang in there. That's kind of the way it is with these types of people who look on the odds. Oh, it's got to change somewhere down the line here. But it doesn't. And finally, Laban's sons kind of step in. Obviously, they would be provoked in a certain degree with jealousy, envy, and watching their own assets, as it might be in regards to their inheritance, diminish along with their father's. And this incites them to bring slanderous, libelous charges against Jacob in so many terms that somehow he is robbing their father in regards to his assets. And that is the intent of their words in verse 1 of chapter 31. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken the wall, taken away all that was our father's, what belonged to our father, has made all this well. Obviously, he didn't take everything that his uncle owned. is an exaggeration, and that's the way slander often starts in regards to spreading lies about people trying to come up with trumped up charges, is to make a situation look worse than what it truly is. And then you follow up with a kernel of truth, that is, yeah, Jacob made a profit in regards to what his father initially owed, but it was all according to agreement. The trumped up charge, the lie, if you will, that he has taken their dad to bankruptcy, according to this regards, this further discolors in one's influence of the meaning in regards to why he has taken from their father and made all this wealth, as if his father was simply a target in regards to a scheme to rob him in regards to his goods. And they're not quiet about this. Obviously, it's what we should avoid in regards to our own talking about other believers and people in this regards. Make sure that we have our facts together. Again, this is slanderous at best. If you don't have your facts together and you're spreading things about people, at best it's gossip. Both of those are verbal sins, by the way, and need to be rebounded if one is engaged in them. But obviously we should try to always have our facts together before we make any type of accusation towards another person or persons in this vein. And without facts, it then is just simply hearsay and opinion based on one person's word against another person's word. Leave that to the politicians. They do a fine job with that. The media, they can run with this just all they want. But we don't want to be a part of that. But anyway, Jacob's cousins get involved in this. And they grab a hold, they get their father's ear, and they bend it. And they insert this poison into his thinking. And all of a sudden, Jacob sees a change of disposition, a change of attitude in regard to his uncle from his previous either at least civil accommodation in regards to working with Laban, Jacob, and having him there on the real estate with him. That's verse 2. Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly, literally in the Hebrew, as 3 days before, or the day before yesterday. So it was a sudden change. How did it suddenly come about? Because of his sons. And obviously, this shows how effective family can be in regards to turning one another's eyes and ears away from facts. And obviously, Laban would be prime in regards to his own thinking, what can be done in this respect. And it gives him the very excuse that he needs to now adopt a hostile attitude towards Jacob in this vein, rather than truly looking at all the facts. Laban obviously has no room to even give an ear to this because he himself is about as unethical as they come amongst believers, as he's already changed Jacob's wages 10 times, which our verses this evening will bring out. But in spite of the potential danger that is facing Jacob now and his family in this regard, God obviously always has his best interests at hand and is always there to protect him and his position. And he reveals himself verbally, as we will see here in the dream that follows here, a vision dream, to remove himself from the premises and go back to the land of Canaan. Now is the time to do so. This, obviously, in protection, in anticipation of what Laban may try to do to him aggressively otherwise. That's verse 3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. And Jacob has come to conclusion that the best way to exit this whole situation is to do it covertly. Again, that's something that we can know through the future verses later on, after the fact. In verse 20, Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he was fleeing. And now, obviously, if he is going to gather up his brood, all his assets, his livestock, his wives, etc., and leave in such fashion, he must have cooperation across the board. And this is where verses 4 and 13 come in to play in the immediate scenario. And I've titled these verses Jacob's Appeal to His Wives. His wives here, specifically Rachel and Leah. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field. Verse 4 in the Hebrew, while consecutive, the verb to send is shalak, cow imperfect, third masculine singular, S-H-A-L-A-C-H. Jacob, proper noun, and called. So he summoned. He summoned them and with a message to come. And called, while consecutive, followed with our verb to call. Cow imperfect, third master singer, Kara, Q-A-R-A. For Rachel, preposition Lamed, followed with a proper noun, and, while conjunction, for Leah, preposition Lamed, repeated with the proper noun, Leah. And where he called him to is where he was located, to his flock in the field. Definite article, followed with our noun for field, common masculine singer, absolute, Sadeh. S-A-D-E-H. In the field, literally. To his flock, preposition L. So out in the open, specifically where the livestock were gathered together. And he was shepherding, preposition L, E-L. Followed with our noun for flock. Common feminine singer construct here with the third masculine singer suffix tison, T-S-O-N. Verse 5, and said to them, he now lays it out to them, while consecutive, to say here is Amar, A-M-A-R, as a cow perfect third masculine singer. To them is the preposition Lama with the third feminine plural suffix to his wives. I see your father's attitude that is not toward me as formerly. I see is the cow participle, masculine verb, singular verb, absolute, ra'a, R-A-A-H, is now a continuous disposition that he's maintaining. It is the idea he's been observing this perpetually since it first arose, this new attitude that's the force behind the participle, continuous action. Seeing I myself, as followed with the pronoun, first common singer, emphatic here, Anoki. He's an eyewitness, A-N-O-K-I-Y. Sign of direct object. Attitude is literally our Hebrew word for faces, a common both plural construct noun, paneh, P-A-N-E-H. Obviously, a reference to his countenance. His facial expressions has given communicated louder than words. The scowl, the frown that would be shot his way, the glare. Obviously, all these things relate to quite clearly often one's thoughts and attitude, and hence his attitude of your father is a common masculine singular construct noun with the second feminine plural suffix of. A-B, Rachel and Sarah's, Leah's father, that it is not, conjunction key, K-I-Y, followed with the adverb with the third masculine singular suffix, ion, A-Y-I-N, that it is not, literally towards me, like formerly, 3 days ago or the day before yesterday, the same construction grammatically that we saw in verse 2. You have the preposition L with the first common singular suffix, E-L, towards me, followed with the preposition cough, plus cough, K-A-P-H, like or as. Formerly or before is the adverb temol, T-E-M-O-L. And then, not in the English, but in the Hebrew, then you have the adverb shileshom, shileshom, S-H-I-L-E-S-H-O-M. Again, literally 3 days before in the Hebrew, thinking that would be the day before yesterday because they count the very day that they're speaking of as one day. Then yesterday was the second day. The day before that would be the third day. He doesn't go any deeper into the situation than that. Doesn't bring in what his cousins have been saying or anything. He simply then gives in the doctrinal readout in regards to the situation. You have, but the God of my father has been with me. You have the wow conjunction, followeth our noun for God, a common masculine plural construct, which we've seen over and over, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. My father, obviously, Isaac and you here, common masculine singular construct with the first common singular suffix of, A-B, has been with me. You have the cow, perfect third masculine singular verb, Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. A good translation would be strives in this case. He strives with me. Again, the English makes it sound like it's a to-be verb. It is not. We've been through that. So you try to put it in this proper grammatical perspective so you can maintain the sense of the action that's going on here. He strives or existed. Translated has been with me. Preposition with the first common singular suffix, imad. I-M-M-A-D. Verse 6. And you know that I have served your father with all my strength. He now goes, if you will, to present his case before them in regards to the action that needs to be taken of leaving. You have the wow conjunction that follows with the pronoun here, second feminine plural, atana, A-T-T-E-N-A-H, atana. You yourselves know or discern. Cal perfect second feminine plural of our verb yada, Y-A-D-A. That is conjunction key, K-I-Y. Then you have the preposition bet, followed with a noun, common accent, singular construct, col, bet, plus col. That with all of, in the Hebrew, my strength or ability. You have the common accent, singular construct with the first common singular suffix, kosha, kocha. K-O-C-H-A, that with all of my strength or ability, I served your father. Cal, perfect first common singular verb to serve, avad, avad, A-B-A-D, sign direct object, then av again, A-B, father here with a common masculine singular struct, second feminine plural suffix. This, in spite of even verse 7, is the idea. Yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. A wow conjunction, common masculine singular noun, construct the second feminine plural suffix again, of, A-B, father, yet your father. Then our word translated cheated is the hifil form of the verb perfect third masculine singular falal, T-H-A-L-A-L. It has deceived, translated cheated, me, preposition with the first common singular suffix bet, has cheated on me, at me, if you want to, awkward obviously in the English. And changed my wages. Wow conjunction, followed with the hifil form then, both of these verbs causative. He did this based on his energy. It was his decision. Perfect third masculine singular verb, kalath, C-H-A-L-A-P-H, changed. What he changed, sign of direct object. My wages is a common feminine singular construct, but the first common singular suffix, masekareth, masekareth. Not once, not twice, but 10 times. You have the adjective feminine singular construct, asara, asarah, followed with the common masculine plural noun, absolute, word for times, occurrences, moneh, M-O-N-E-H. Some just take this as language, meaning he did it multiple times, but 10 times fits over 6 years, breeding season, a couple times a year. There's no reason really to take it other than literally 10 times because it fits within the time scenario. 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. It doesn't go on and moan about it. Again, he just gives the doctrinal perspective. However, is a wow conjunction followed with the particle lo, L-O, followed with the cal perfect third masculine singular verb with the third masculine singular suffix, nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. Literally, yet he did not allow, it's literally give, Nathan, or Nathan, our word Nathan, did not allow him, as it's translated. That being God, our noun Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M, common masculine plural absolute. To hurt me is in the Hebrew, the preposition lamed, followed with the hifel infinity verb construct ra'ah, R-A-A, to hurt or to do evil. Against me, literary preposition with the first common singular suffix again, imad, I-M-M-A-D. Then he gives the particulars how God protected him. Verse 8, if he spoke thus, that being Laban doing the speaking here, if is your particle M, I-M, followed with the adverb ko, K-O-H. If thus or when, literally he would speak, cal imperfect third masculine singular again, our verb amar, A-M-A-R. The speckles shall be your wages. Then all the flock brought forth speckled. The speckled, or the speckled ones, is the adjective masculine plural absolute, nakod, N-A-Q-O-D. Follow with the verb haya, cal imperfect third masculine singular, will become, literally, H-A-Y-A-H. Your wages. Wages here is the common masculine singular construct noun with the second masculine singular suffix, sakar, S-A-K-A-R. Then all the flock brought four speckled, while consecutive, then they gave birth to, they brought forth, is the cal perfect third common plural, yalad, Y-A-L-A-D. Each of them, the common masculine singular construct, kol, K-O-L, each of the flock that got pregnant. Definite article, common both singular noun absolute, tison, T-S-O-N. Speckled ones, again, are adjective, nakod, N-A-Q-O-D. And if he spoke thus, same construction, wow conjunction, with the particle M, if, adverb ko, and if thus, he would speak, our verb amar, cal imperfect third masculine singular. Then striped ones, instead of the multiple outcome of either striped or speckled or mottled, etc., he limits it just to one look, one appearance. This striped ones is your adjective, masculine, plural, absolute, a code. Not na code, but a code. A-Q-O-D. Will become our verb haya again, imperfect, third masculine singular cow. Your wages are sakar, S-A-K-A-R, with the second masculine singular suffix. And then, they gave birth to each of the flock, striped ones. Again, same type of construction as the previous part of the verse, while consecutive. Yalad is your verb to give birth to, cow, perfect, third common plural, Y-A-L-A-B. Kol, each of them, common masculine singular construct, definite article, tason, flock, kol, tason, T-S-O-N. A code, striped ones, a code repeated as an adjective, masculine plural. Verse 9. Exciting, isn't it? I wonder why I have these little visions in my eyes when I go to sleep sometimes. Thus God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. Again, he brings out the doctrinal perspective. He presents the facts, then he gives the doctrine in all these cases. Then our verb here, has taken away, is the hiphil, perfect third masculine singular, natsal. N-A-T-S-A-L. Literally, that word means to deliver or rescue, as is from danger. Translated, taken away. He snatched away or is taken away. That being God, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M, common masculine plural absolute, sign of direct object. Then our noun for livestock. Here, this word obviously incorporates sheep and goat. Doesn't have to. It's not limited to cattle as we might think of it today. Is your common masculine singular noun construct McKenna? M-E-Q-E-N-E-H. Of your father, our noun of, common masculine singular construct second masculine plural suffix. And gave them to me, while consecutive. Then our verb again, to give, is Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. Cal and perfect third masculine singer, followed with the preposition lamed with the first common singular suffix. And now we find out that he had a dream, and this is how he came to know that he needed to leave at this time. And it came about at the time when the flock were mating that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream. While consecutive, came to pass, came about, is our verb, hayah, repeated again here, cow, imperfect third masculine singular. At the time, it's a preposition bet, followed with our noun for time, common both singular absolute, eth, E-T-H. When the flocks were mating, you had the PL infinity verb construct first, our word, yakam, Y-A-C-H-A-M. Literally means to be in heat, to be hot. Hence conceived. Translated, mating. The flock. Obviously doing the mating here. Definite article. Common both singular absolute. Tason. T-S-O-N. That I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream. While consecutive. I lift up. To lift up is a cow perfect first common singular, nasa, N-A-S-A. My eyes is a common both dual noun construct with first common singular suffix, ayin, A-Y-I-N. And I saw, while consecutive, our verb ra'ah, to see. R-A-A-H, cow, imperfect, first common singular. In the dream, preposition in, abet, excuse me, thinking Greek instead of Hebrew there, B-E-T. Definite article, and then our noun for dream, Common masculine singular noun, absolute. Shalom. C-H-A-L-O-M. And behold, the male goats which were mating were striped, speckled, and mottled. Vowel conjunction. And then you had the interjectory particle henna. H-I-N-N-E-H. And behold, then a definite article, and all that's in view here is the male goats. It's common masculine plural, absolute noun, atud, A-T-T-U-D. Then that translated mating literally in the Hebrew. You had the definite article, cow participle, followed with a cow participle, masculine plural verb, absolute, Allah. A-L-A-H. It literally means to go up or climb. Hence, the ones mounting. So in the dream, the goats were actually in the act of copulating. Ones mounting upon the flock. Preposition all. A-L. Flock to sown. With the definite article, common both, singular, absolute. T-S-O-N. And the ones that were in the act of copulating were striped, speckled, and mottled. Were striped first is your adjective akod, A-Q-O-D, masculine plural absolute. Then the adjective masculine plural absolute nakod, N-A-Q-O-D, speckled. And then our adjective for spotted or mottled as a wow conjunction adjective masculine plural absolute barod, B-A-R-O-D. Verse 11. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, and I said, here I am. Wow consecutive, the verb to say, amar, A-M-A-R, cow in perfect third masculine singular. To me is the preposition L, E-L, here with the first common singular suffix. Then our noun for angel, common masculine singular construct, Malak, M-A-L-E-A-K-E. Angel here of God, definite article, followed with Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M, common masculine plural absolute. In the dream, preposition bet, definite article, shalom, repeated, common masculine singular absolute. Then he said to me, the angel of God in the dream, Jacob, proper noun, and I answered, or I said, wow, consecutive, cow perfect, first common singular, amar. Here I am is one word, the interjectory particle, with the first common singular suffix, henna, H-I-N-N-E-H. Behold me, see me, here I am. Verse 12. And he said, lift up now your eyes and see that all the male goats which are mating are striped, speckled, and mottled. Well, wait a second. That's what I'm looking at now, God. Well, that's what was going on back in verse 10, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the male goats were striped, speckled, and mottled, or speckled, striped, and mottled. Now God's telling him to lift up his eyes and look. Now we got to deal with that. Point these things out as they go along. It's things that catch your eye when you go through, and you got to go, oh, okay, figure that one out. That's when prayer really comes in handy. And he said, wow, consecutive, followed with the verb amar, calum, perfect third masculine singular. God, again, doing the speaking. Lift up is your calum imperative, masculine singular, nasa, N-A-S-A. Now, particle na, N-A, your eyes is the common both dual construct with the second maximum singer suffix ion, A-Y-I-N. And C, while conjunction followed with the imperative of the cal masculine singer verb raw, R-A-A-H. All of the male goats, or each of the male goats, common masculine singer construct, col, K-O-L. Definite article or noun for male goats, common masculine plural absolute, atud, A-T-T-U-D. In a definite article, then our word for mounting again is the participle cal masculine plural absolute alah, A-L-A-H, as they would climb up on the back of the female. Upon the flock, preposition all, A-L. Definite article, flock is a common both singular absolute to sown. And then again, their colored features. Striped, speckled, and mottled are same words. A code, A-Q-O-D. Striped, speckled is not code, the adjective, N-A-Q-O-D. And spotted or mottled is our adjective, barod, B-A-R-O-D. Then he concludes, for or because I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. You have the conjunction key, K-I-Y. I have seen is ra'ah, our typical verb, R-A-A-H. Cal, perfect, first common singular. Sign of direct object, our noun, col, K-O-L. Again, all. Which is a relative pronoun, Asher. Not in the English. I have seen all which, A-S-H-E-R. Laban, proper noun. To be doing, has been doing, is a cal participle, ongoing action. Again, masculine singular absolute, asah, A-S-A-H. To use preposition long over the second feminine singular suffix. Then he concludes, God does, in his words to Jacob, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. The emphatic use of pronoun Anoki, first common singular, I myself, A-N-O-K-I-Y. Definite article, then our noun for God here is in the singular, common masculine singular absolute, El, the God, E-L. Of Bethel, proper noun, Bethel. Where is literally at which, the relative pronoun Asher, A-S-H-E-R. You anointed a pillar, at which you anointed cal, P-L, second masculine singular verb to anoint, Meshach, M-A-S-H-A-C-H. There is the adverb Sham in the Hebrew, S-H-A-M, at which you anointed there a pillar, common feminine singular noun absolute, Matzebah, M-A-T-S-E-B-A-H. Then again, another relative pronoun, the use of relative pronoun again, Asher, Asher. At which, the same place is the idea, you made a vow. You had a cal perfect second masculine singular verb, the verb to make a vow, nadar, N-A-D-A-R. To me is a preposition, lamed, with the first common singular suffix. There, again, is in the Hebrew, the adverb sham, S-H-A-M. And then, not in the English again, there you made a vow to me there, a vow still in the Hebrew, that's omitted in the English, though it's important in the interpretation. Anyway, now you have the noun of the cognate verb nader, nader, common masculine singular absolute, N-E-D-E-R. now or still is your adverb attah, A-T-T-A-H. You made a vow still. Then he gives him the command, arise, leave this land, and return to the land of your birth. He had a cow imperative, masculine singular, our verb, cum, Q-U-M. As you can see, I put the adverb with the noun, bow, a bow now, rather than a bow stop. Now arise. But anyway, we'll deal with that in the deal. Rises cum. Leave or go out is your cow imperative, masculine singular, yatsa, Y-A-T-S-A. From the land, or leave this land, literally from the land is the preposition men, M-I-N, followed with a definite article and our noun, common feminine singular, absolute, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. The land, this one, definite article, adjective, feminine singular, zoth. Z-O-T-H. And return, vowel conjunction, cal imperative, a series of imperatives here, God's directive will, shub, masculine singular, return, shub, S-H-U-B, to the land of your birth or your kin, your relatives, that may be translated in any case. Preposition L, E-L, land, eretz, again repeated. Common feminine singular, constructive second masculine singular suffix, mulladeth, that's a common feminine singular, construct noun, eretz. Then the common feminine singular, construct noun with the second masculine singular suffix, or word for birth or kin, is mulladeth, M-O-L-E-D-E-T-H. All right. All that to say this. Rereading verses 4 through 13. Verse 4, so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field. Verse 5, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, attitude, that it is not friendly toward me as before, the day before yesterday. But the God of my father has been with me. Verse 6, and you know that I have served your father with all my strength. Yet, verse 7, your father has cheated me, deceived me, and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to do evil against me, to hurt me. Verse 8, if he spoke thus, as Laban did in speaking, the speckle shall be your wages. Then each of the flock brought four speckled. And if he spoke thus, the stripe shall be your wages. Then each of the flock brought forth stripe. Verse 9. Thus God has delivered or rescued from danger, literally, your father's livestock, and given them to me. Verse 10. And it came about at the time when the flock were mounting, the males were mounting upon the flock, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream. Or, no, that's right, we're mating there, that's Yakam. That I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream. I'm trying to get to the good stuff first, I guess. I don't know. And behold, the male goats, the ones mounting, if you will, were striped, speckled, and mottled. Verse 11, then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob. And I said, behold me. Verse 12, and he said, lift up now your eyes and see all the male goats that are mounting are striped, speckled, and mottled, because I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. Verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar there, where you made a vow to me, a vow still. Arise, leave this land, and return to the land of your birth. All right, the analysis of verses 4 through 13. One, the background now for Jacob's following meeting, emergency meeting, if you will, with his wives, must be understood in light of his plan to leave Haran covertly. You got to put it in the proper context that he is planning to leave under the radar. And we know that from verse 20 of our chapter. Two, under these circumstances, he must have an unwavering commitment from them, willing to not only leave without goodbyes, but to keep mum in the process. In order for his plan to work, obviously, everyone has to keep things under wraps. One loose lip can ruin this whole plan that he has. And obviously, his wives are in charge of the household duties, ministering, if you will, over the slaves and others in this regard. And therefore, he brings his sergeant at arms, so to speak, before him, and he now lays out his plan in a way to appeal to them, to give him his their loyalty, their commitment, that they'll go along with him in his plan. So, three, now while we would not rule out fear as part of Jacob's driving force here of why he might leave covertly, which obviously fear seems to be a driving STA force with the patriarchs. It is common among all believers, generally speaking. But it seems to be emphasized otherwise. So we wouldn't rule out fear completely as Jacob's driving force to leave covertly. The main reason, though, for such a departure is that his family is vulnerable to any hostile aggression from Laban's flanks. He's in a situation, which we brought this out with the preceding verses, that he does not have a defense company of militarily trained individuals to protect him. Laban does. Laban has quite a portfolio of males that can assist him and be a formidable aggressive force against Jacob otherwise. So Jacob obviously isn't just completely under fear here. I don't see that. He is thinking about his family. He wants to get them out safely. God's instructed him to leave. What's the best way to do this? Throughout this section, as I've been bringing out, you have all kinds of opinions from commentaries, you know, of things that are going on, all the way from Jacob scheming and all this stuff, he's a chicken liver here, running away in this regard. I don't see it all that way. I'm not saying that the SJA is not involved. It usually is. But whoop-de-doo, what would you do in this situation? So I see him. He's thinking about family. The best application to make in this situation. So four, with the command from God to leave under his, God's protective umbrella in verse 3, haste is of the essence, and the willingness of his companions to follow marching orders a necessity. There are times when authorities may be a little lax in regards to expectations of subordinates fulfilling the commands, but then there are other times when time is of the essence, and the authority definitely needs full cooperation, and it needs to be undying, if you will, that people are going to do what he says, or else the plan will go kaput. Anybody that's been in any type of combat situation understands this necessity, understands the need for this type of obedience. Don't think about it. Just do what I tell you to do. The man with the plan, he's the one calling the shots. And so you need the undying loyalty. And you need to be willing to do what is expected for the plan to be successful. So five now, his approach, Jacob's approach, to his wives, Rachel and Leah. Here is one of honesty. He just tells it like it is. On his part, supported then by the truth of doctrine. The different parts of the verses where I said and pointed out, he just, here's the doctrine. Here's the doctrine to go with it. He tells them the truth, then he gives them the doctrine. So that is his plan of appeal in regards to his wives. So six, now to avoid any prying eyes or ears, Jacob summons Rachel and Leah to a location in this meeting, providing maximum defense against eavesdropping to his flock in the field, Hasadah El Tason. He's got to make sure that there are no other ears that shouldn't hear what he needs to tell them in this respect. He confides completely in regards to those whom then he will put and make responsible to be in charge of others. If they can keep their secret, then others around them will probably follow suit in and of itself. And there is no better way to do it to be out in the open. Nobody hiding behind the rock, see, behind the door. Like Rebecca. Or whoever. Maybe Jacob's learned, we've got to make sure we're away from the house on this number. So seven, he begins by presenting the immediate cause for concern. He addresses it sequentially in a very logical and straightforward fashion. One to have maximum impact in the time spent with them. So he begins by presenting first the immediate cause for concern. Quote, I see your father's attitude that is not friendly toward me as formerly. Ra'a anohi pana habki ayin akath tamal shirashon. Eight, he simply repeats his initial observation recounted in verse 2 that we saw previously, to include the sudden change of disposition embedded in the Hebrew adverb shilashom, meaning, quote, 3 days before, end quote, omitted in the New American Standard. Again, you can look back at the analysis as we dealt with it a little bit deeper there, but about the same. So he simply repeats his initial observation that we were told earlier. So nine, here he omits any participation of his sister's brothers as accomplices and instead relates the real issue at hand doctrinally, that the God of my father has been with me, while Elohim av hayah emad. He doesn't go on to say that he heard his cousins, their brothers, mouthing off and making accusations at him, making trumped up charges and the implications of being in their father. He skips all that. He just simply says, your dad is not friendly anymore. He has taken on an aggressive, hostile attitude towards me. He skips by that, and he just simply goes in and he gives him the doctrinal perspective that really counts in this situation. The God of my father has been with me. My back was protected by God in spite of this. It's being protected by God. So 10, Jacob here illustrates, quote, cool-headedness, end quote, by avoiding unnecessary words that might only serve to inflame emotions and then give an air of excessive accusation. There's different approaches, different tacks that people can take when dealing with others, especially in a situation as sensitive as this one is in regards to leaving the land. And he could have gone in, he could have got them all worked up emotionally, but he knows, but no, I ain't doing that with these wives. Now, you've got to be cool-headed. You got to keep people from running into their emotions, especially when you're dealing with an emergency type of situation. And that is simply go in, you address the situation, and then you throw the doctrine in the mix. Here's the doctrine that goes with it. Your dad has the countenance of being aggressive, but God's with me. See? God's with me. So there's no need to get interfere, get wrapped around the axle, to get emotional in this regards. To help them stay cool, he stays cool. And that is a sign of spiritual growth, a maturing male adult in regards to his life and dealing with others here. So, again, as I have been bringing out, I see this spiritual growth that is blossoming out of Jacob, even though, obviously, he's still not at that level yet that we would call mature. But he's definitely working on it. And his whole demeanor, his whole approach is so starkly different from what we saw back in Canaan, you know, in regards to how he dealt with people, etc. So you're ever in a position, and you got to call the troops front and center to relate to some type of emergency situation. As the authority, you got to keep that level head. Try to just stick with the points, stick with the issue, lay out what your plan is, and try to keep everybody's emotions at bay, to put them down as necessary if they do start to rise otherwise. Because emotionalism is often your worst enemy in cases like this. People get emotional, then they don't think clear. He wants them to think clear, and they have to think clear. They got to think this thing through for themselves, including all the doctrinal aspects. So here, again, illustrates point 10, cool-headedness by avoiding unnecessary words that might only serve to inflame emotions and give an air of excessive accusation. 11, rather, he presents a presence of stability in faith that God has had his back in protection, in spite of hostilities, sticking with the real issue at hand. Nothing to get overly concerned about. God's with us. See, that's what he's saying. God's with us. He's with me, and hence with them. 12, is wise with any discernment, can fill in the blanks regarding the remainder of their family. If they've been observing, which their responses, etc., that will come out of this, shows that they have been over time. They can fill in the blanks. There's time for that later. Right now, we need to get this show on the road. We may need to make sure everybody is on the same page in regards to the situation at hand. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to utilize these things. In Jesus' name, amen.